This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're taking a look at this story about, I guess, the backlash that Malaysian entrepreneur Vivi Yusof, of course, she co-founded the popular online fashion and beauty retailer Fashion Valet. She received quite a bit of backlash on social media, and this was after she wrote about her thoughts on being pregnant, and she's expecting her third child. And what happened was is that she wrote about the common symptoms of pregnancy, exhaustion, nausea, a change in appetite, and how it had hit her harder now than it did before. And I guess her sentiments were perceived negatively, with netizens expressing their disappointment on Twitter.
So just some choice statements that they chose to pick on. Apparently she's urging pregnant women not to be the reason why people say pregnant women are weak, drawing comparisons with her own experiences and how she's managing her own pregnancy. So a lot of Twitter users took to criticizing her notion of pregnancy, some talking about her privileged upbringing as a reason, criticizing her for realizing that each pregnancy is different only 8 years after she first became a mother. Some also expressing concern, saying that Vivi is in a leadership role and her toxic views about pregnant women has an impact on her employees.
Yeah, well, so when I see these types of Twitter discussions, it's usually my initial bet is something has been taken out of context or been miscommunicated. And Twitter is not the great space to have discussions on nuance. So what we tried to do was try to look at the original article in the NST. And, you know, we both had a read of this article, Caroline. And what I at least saw in this article was just almost a realization and a sharing of her experience about how this existing third pregnancy gave her a different perspective about how she viewed her own pregnancy and of others. And I think in some ways that she was humbled by how many women, you know, of course, have had to do and have had to do it in their own way, despite whatever challenges at work, at home that they might have had.
She's come up with an explanation, right, saying that critics have essentially chosen to zoom in on particular paragraphs where she narrated about her experience. But, you know, it's exactly what the article was about, in that she said that karma hit her hard because her third pregnancy now is rather difficult, and that made her sympathize with women a lot more. And I really feel for her. I think it's an awful one to be taken to task over. You know, we know that one pregnancy is so different from the rest. Just here in BFM alone, right, the cases of pregnant mothers have been really, really varied. Some mums really, really struggle. They find it very difficult to get through the day. Others are just breezing towards the finish line.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what also was attached to this discussion is not just Vivi's experience as a pregnant woman, it's also as her role as the founder of Fashion Valley. How do others in her workforce, I guess, manage the circumstances in which they find themselves in? Is it a question of whether her employees get flexible hours, whether they get the necessary support infrastructure that a company affords? And it became this rather interesting discussion about, you know, what support can be given to pregnant moms, but also a lot of firing towards celebrity and those who have and don't have privilege.
And I mean, if you take a look at the comments, what's particularly awful about the situation is all the judgment that's involved, right? I mean, how many of us can say that we've never changed our minds about anything? You know, that we've never been humbled by our mistakes, which incidentally was what she was trying to get across, right? That she realizes so much. You know, so much has changed now, things are different, you know, that it took her this time and three pregnancies to really understand the spectrum and how she's come through that.
So we're now crossing over to Dr. Jashpal Kaur Bhatt, a senior lecturer on gender discrimination and labour law over at UITM. Thank you for joining us on the show, Dr. Jashpal. And I guess to kick things off, in your opinion, what is the most pertinent kind of discrimination that pregnant women face at the workforce?
Okay, research has shown us, you know, women suffer many forms of discriminatory treatment at the workplace here in Malaysia. But if you ask me from a legal point of view, I think the major form of discrimination currently faced by women, pregnant women in Malaysia, is that we don't have a law that protects women while they're pregnant from termination. Okay, to terminate a pregnant worker is a form of discrimination.
So you mentioned that research has shown that pregnant women do face many other kinds of discrimination at the workplace, besides the fact that there is no protection against termination. How else are pregnant women treated unfairly?
Now, when we say discriminatory treatment, we must realize that discriminatory treatment comes in many forms, okay? So, for example, you know, common issues faced by pregnant workers is they are often accused of tardiness or poor work performance. And if you were to look at it really, it's very easy to pick on a pregnant woman for example, for her reduced levels of productivity, the amount of time she takes off from work. And so what is overlooked is the reasons for this is that they have issues with their health and well-being when pregnant. Things like morning sickness, various forms of preeclampsia, pregnancy diabetes, placenta previa. This is just to name a few common medical issues. And then when you put this in place of the workplace, then you're looking at time off from work. You know, if they have medical issues, they have to take more MCs, for example. And you see employers of these pregnant women being concerned, like, look, there is a reduced levels of productivity, there's reduced levels of attendance. Many women actually even quit their jobs while they are pregnant because they can't cope with the medical issues they are going through. So while you have these concerns from employers and employees, the point is this. If we do not accept these health, safety, and medical well-being issues, then it becomes a matter of great concern if you're overlooking the social importance of pregnancy and maternity.
So, you know, there's the whole myth slash expectation thing that, you know, women who are going through difficult pregnancies can just snap out of the painful situation that they're in, you know, kind of like an on and off switch just by changing their mindsets. Anything you'd like to add on to that?
Oh dear, if I could do that, if women could will their way out of a pregnancy, they would have willed the gift of pregnancy to men, let me tell you. Many people do not realize what a strain it is to be pregnant. It is an issue that concerns women physically, emotionally, psychologically, financially, and more importantly, at the workplace, career-wise.
Right.
Women who are mothers actually sacrifice their careers for their right to have a family. And if you were to look at, you know, many successful women around, you would hear such descriptions, I suppose. Oh, they were smart women, they were organized women, they were super women who can juggle their pregnancies, births, babies, children, husbands and family life. Do these women really exist? Maybe they do. And if you were to ask them, I think the first thing that they would tell you is the level of support and help they had that allowed them to be where they are. So I think, in essence, what we are going to learn from this unfortunate Vivi Yusuf incident is this. Being pregnant can be and is usually hard. Being a pregnant worker is harder. And employers have to play their role here. Don't forget, when employees keep on leaving, you know, because they don't find supportive employers, they leave. So employers have to realize that. And also, don't overlook the role of the government here. You know, government plays a very critical role here in encouraging and supporting, I suppose, employers by allowing for policies to be put in for pregnancy and maternity protection. I think the key words here are support and understanding.
You're right there. And of course, just going back to what you mentioned, the role of government is important, especially when it comes to creating and enforcing policies and legislations to support and protect pregnant women in the workforce. Where do we start with this?
All right. That's a very important and critical question, actually. This incident has revealed that many people, there's a major concern over the lack of employer sympathy for pregnant workers and those who are struggling to maintain the work-family balance. The issue of having policies actually then must take into account these three standpoints, the employer, the employee, and the government. Because the government plays a very important role, a lead role in terms of policies and legislation. And also, don't forget, as the state, the government has to live up to its international law obligations. And examples in terms of CEDAW, the international convention that requires governments to put into place laws and policies that protect women while they are pregnant at the workplace. So having a pregnancy and maternity protection policy is an excellent starting point. But these policies must go hand in hand with legislation that provides the legal basis for such protection. Currently, we not only lack protection from dismissal under the law, there is also no right to take time off from work, to go for medical checkups. There is no right to return to work after taking your maternity leave, and many others. Another crucial issue is there is no paternity leave in Malaysia. It's very gender specific to women. Mm. So these are some of the matters that we need to look at if we want to talk about policies and legislation.
But do you think those laws like paternity leave and giving more time off and, you know, flexible working hours to pregnant women and mothers could work in small firms? Because I think the general argument is that smaller companies, so I'm thinking, you know, the SMEs and the like, possibly can't afford to put extensive policies in place. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I can really see the concern of employers, of SMEs, you know, really financial constraints, operational requirements, you know, and which could stand in the way of maternity protection. But here's the point. It is precisely that these SMEs are small that they can actually negotiate with their employees for better levels of protection. I'll give you an example. I did actually a research sometime last year where we went around asking SME employers what they did for their employees in terms of pregnancy and maternity protection. And, you know, we got such wonderful feedback. And this is all done on an individual basis. So each SME operates on its own. So they gave examples such as giving time off to their workers for health checks, better parking facilities, giving easier workloads, giving flexible working arrangements. An example of these was coming to work later or working from home. And, you know, many of these employers acknowledge that they got so much back from their grateful employees in terms of maintaining productivity and loyalty. So I don't think the SME argument will really stand in the way of them giving better protection, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us on the program, Dr. Jashpal. That was Dr. Jashpal Kaur Bhatt, a senior lecturer on gender discrimination and labor law over at UITM, that's University of Technology Mara, with her views on discrimination that pregnant women face in the workplace.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.